rest.
What's up? It's the Georgia Show on your Sunday evening here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. And as always, the Georgia Show presented to you by American Pride Bank. Listen, guys, if you're looking for localized solutions, dealing with decision makers, the opportunity for small business help with big business decisions from these guys, American Pride Bank's the one to touch with. Get in touch today, AmericanPride.bank, or you can visit them in Alpharetta, Athens. There's a number of ways to get in touch. They're going to meet your banking needs, whether that's personal or business, and they can assist you as needed. Get over to AmericanPride.bank, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender. Rusty Mantell, welcome to the Georgia Show on Sunday night. And once again, Rusty, it was a big, big weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs when it comes to the NFL draft. The Dogs with the second most players drafted in the entire draft, only one player less than Ohio State. 13 total Dogs go in this one. Just an absolute showcase for the Georgia Bulldogs. Once again, man, look, it's old hat at this point. Like it feels like it's normal. It's totally not. This is ridiculous that this keeps happening in this way and with these numbers. Let's just lead it off, Rusty, talking about the main guys that got this thing kicked off. Those first rounders, all three guys went as expected in the first round, but things got shaken up a little bit. And unbelievable, it finally happened. You knew it had to, the streak had to end at some point, and everybody waited with bated breath when that number 15 pick rolled around. But let's talk about Mykel Williams first. He goes to San Francisco, perhaps a bit earlier. You saw some projections kind of in that range for Mykel Williams, but it was a situation for him where I feel like this is a pretty good scenario for Mykel to land in.
Hell yeah, you play an opposite of Nick Bosa, and you're going to get single, a lot of single blocks over there. You're going to get a lot of one-on-one because he gets doubled a lot, and he's going to be good for Bosa. But I think, you know, listen, these guys do the best they can. You know, we've been in that boat, and you start mock and do these things, but I've said it a million times, and I've heard Kirby Smart say it, the hardest position to find are 6'5", 265-pound guys that can rush the passer, that can play the edge, that can play, you know, set the edge, do all those things. And, you know, I don't know if you heard John Lynch talk about it, but he said, man, this guy playing hurt was a big deal for us because we knew how bad he was hurt. You know, we don't get into the medical stuff, but it was public because they talked about it. You know, he took a shot to play against Alabama. He wasn't ready to come back, but he was like, I'm playing against freaking Alabama. I'm not missing this game. And you know, when you're an NFL coach, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear. Like, and it is what it is. Like we drafted you, we're paying you millions. You know, you're a 75% Mykel Williams is better than a lot of players, and we need you to play this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, a 75% Mykel Williams, which is crazy to think about, as dominant as he was. And one of those guys, Rusty, that it certainly, I mean, look, Jake Rowe made this point a lot. More sacks than Trayvon Walker. I mean, a guy who really the production was there, perhaps not in the way that people thought it might pan out given his ranking coming out of high school, but it would not shock me at all if Mykel Williams went out and put together a really nice little NFL career for himself and continued to build on some of the fantastic things he did for the University of Georgia. He's always been a freak talent. I know you and I both had a chance to see him in high school. The guy has the total package. And I think that sometimes people got a little lost in the weeds because just with numbers. Right. Mm-hmm. But there was more to Mykel Williams and how he helped that Georgia defense than just the stat line at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're not going to, it's not going to be a Georgia, the way they're built and the way they, you know, operate, you're not going to have huge sack numbers. You know what I mean? If you're here for sack numbers, this is probably not the place for you. Now you want to put good product on the field and get developed and get a fit into the NFL. This is my kind of rebuttal to people that negative recruit Georgia. Trayvon Walker went to number one draft pick. I think he had 8.5 sacks in 3 years at Georgia. 3 years at Georgia, he had 8.5 sacks. He did exactly what Georgia was asking him to do, and run fit and you know, gap control and those types of things. And they won a lot of games and 2 national championships, I believe. Here's what I'll say. In the last 2 years, Jake, he's had 20.5 sacks in the NFL. Okay. And it's the old, what's the old stand by me? The old junkyard dog, you know, sick, you know what, chopper? That's what right. that's what they're talking about, Mykal. You know, go get it, chopper. And I think Mykal is a guy that's going to play. I think Mykal is tougher against the run. I think Mykal needs to work a little bit more, possibly on his pass rush stuff, but I don't have a concern at all. And I think that he was certainly worthy of a top 10 pick because there's just not many body types like him. Listen, this is a great kid. I know his mom and dad, his sister just won back-to-back state championships down at Hardaway. This is a great athletic family. He's a good kid, really grounded. He loves the Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, interesting on those guys, Malachi Starks, 3 and out. Jalen Walker, 3 and out.
Yeah.
Michael Williams, 3 and out. That was 3 first-round draft picks. Those guys weren't on the national championship team that beat Alabama. They were on the TCU team, which is strange to say. They were 3 out, 3 out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought about that going back and looking at it, you know, just absolutely ridiculous to see those guys and what they were able to do. Mykal goes to San Francisco. Great situation for him. And then – the pick that everybody waited on forever and ever. And I know you were sitting at home just like I was. And everybody
I was in the hotel room.
Just in waiting with bated breath. Will they do it or will they not? And you know what the reaction would have been if they didn't. And listen, I got to tell you, Rusty, I saw a great tweet from our man Ben Woke over at Talk247. He had a great tweet on this. He said, "We're about to find out if cyberbullying works, because you cannot tell me that the Atlanta Falcons did not hear some of the noise regarding Georgia fans over the years pounding the table for their guys. You got a big needed edge, and 15 rolls around, a guy that was projected. I think I saw the projections, like there was like a 3% chance that he would be available at the slot."
I don't know, because I do radio in Atlanta on 92.9 on Fridays. So thank gosh, you know, that it was that hat. Let me tell you something. I've never seen more people in a better mood. There was a golf tournament at Stone Mountain. We were live Friday morning. And I'm telling you, everybody was in a great mood. There were grown men come up and asking me, how do we get a Jalen Walker, you know, jersey? Randy McMichael, former Georgia Bulldog great, who's great on the radio. If you guys haven't listened to him, he's awesome. Randy McMichael got to interview Terry Fontenot Friday afternoon. And he basically, in a roundabout way, said they had no idea that Jalen Walker was going to be there. They were going to take James Pierce at 15. That was their guy. They had no idea. So what happened was when he became available, and you hear this coach speak all the time, like best guy, you know, whatever. It truly, and the Falcons had to sit there and reshuffle their board. They took the entire time because they're like, wait a minute, we got freaking Jalen Walker here. Like, guys, we got to hold up. And then they wind up getting both.
They took all the time on the pick, too. And so you're sitting there going, what are they going to do? Oh, my God, are they going to overthink this thing again? And like you said, I don't blame them. Very few scenarios, I'm sure, where they anticipated that they would have the possibility to do that.
Yeah, and I know they spent some time with him. And Terry Fontenot, again, who I felt like was playing with house money because he's on the hot seat in Atlanta. Let's just put it out there. I mean, I heard him interviewed, and he said, man, Jalen Walker didn't work out at his pro day because he was coming off that injury. We sat with him, and he goes, man, like – my son was around him. That's the kind of person you want as a son-in-law. That's the kind of person you want your kid around. Like this guy's a true 5-star on and off the field. And you don't think that for a minute that don't play into your, like, guys, we cannot pass on another Georgia Bulldog. I mean, we're sitting up here watching this Philadelphia. Now Green Bay, now Detroit's got a whole damn busload of them. But for kudos to the Falcons, man, because to me, at number 15, Jalen Walker was one of the safest picks I've ever had. I mean, it was like, that's an absolute damn no-brainer, man. Because I have spent some time with him this year, got a chance to sit down with him, and I'm just telling you, man, this kid has got everything. I know Georgia is going to miss him as a player. But I'm telling you right now, Glenn Schumann is going to miss him in that locker room, because this is a guy that, I mean, he's a freaking dude, man. He's going to make the Falcons a really good player and a really good leader. Somebody, in my opinion, in 2 or 3 years, that could end up being like the face of the franchise. He could be one of those guys, you know, with Penix and Jalen Walker. You got a superstar on the other side and Jalen Walker, and you got this quarterback. It could be really good for the Falcons. Have always, I would imagine, wanted to bring this Georgia fan base in. Just bring them in. You know, we need you. You know, everybody's over here, Philadelphia dogging and all that. But yeah, that was a great pick by them.
I thought so too. And you know, it's interesting you draw that parallel to Penix. You know, the other thing that came to mind for me was Bijan. You know, Bijan just so community service guy. You know, look, I think that they've got guys that'll translate over when it comes to wins, but also too, man, they're going to win some hearts and minds with this setup. It was phenomenal. And it felt like there was like a collective weight that was lifted when they made that pick, man. They showed that video.
They could have turned it off. It could have been done for the night. You know what I mean? Done for the night. Absolutely.
They showed the video of them making that pick in the draft party at the Benz. And I commented back on the message board and I said, see how hard that was not? Like, this was all you had to do, man. You could appease an entire group of people just by making that pick for Jalen Walker. They get back in, they take their guy with Pierce. Look, whether or not you feel good about that, James Pierce, one hell of a player. Kirby Smart company recruited that kid like crazy.
Recruited James Pierce hard, really hard.
So, Falcons kind of nailed that one. And then a pick that I love for so many reasons, Rusty, I think Malachi Starks to the Baltimore Ravens, one of the premier defensive franchises in this league, just nothing but pro every year. They nail this thing once again. He's going to fit into that culture. I said my hot take the other day was that it wouldn't surprise me if Malachi Starks ended up having the best career out of anybody in this Georgia draft class. And I think with a fit like the Baltimore Ravens, that's all the more possible.
Think about if you're the Ravens, you got Kyle Hamilton, first rounder from Marist, okay? Yeah. Went Notre Dame, first rounder. Georgia recruited the piss out of him, didn't get him either. Yeah. And you get Malachi Starks, first rounder from Jefferson. You got two kids right there, right off 85 in Atlanta, in Northeast Georgia, and both of those guys are going to be absolute just super freaks for the Ravens.
Absolutely, man. Now, I felt great for Malachi. And you talk again about another guy that people just love, they rave about.
Roquan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just the pride of Jefferson, man. Everybody
how about that?
Just beaming for that kid, man. And Malachi, look, comes in, just comes out of the gate. You can't really make an impression like he did against Oregon and have people forget you. I mean, he came out the rip and just really dominated. So amazing first round, went as expected for the Georgia Bulldogs. That was huge. The Dogs get a player drafted, Rusty. Very unique here. First time I believe it's ever happened in every single round. They had one guy drafted in every single round. Tate Ratledge in the second. Not a huge surprise there. I was a little surprised Dylan Fairchild in the third. That felt like a really nice spot for him. And if you had told me going into this draft that Dylan Fairchild would have been picked before Jared Wilson, I don't think I would have believed it. I can understand the upside, though. I mean, Dylan Fairchild – a mauler in his own right, but that's three Georgia offensive linemen in a row off the board for the Bulldogs, and really just a tremendous group.
You know, without getting too much, it's not my kind of avenue to blast this, but Jared Wilson was that close to going in the second round. Like, there was a team about to take him, and they took another position because of the guy in front of them. That, you know, dominoes fall, but I'm telling you, Jared Wilson was that close to going in the second round. Evidently not a great center class. You look at him. So I think Dylan Fairchild, to be honest with you, hell of a player. I think Dylan Fairchild was one of those ones that kind of that was rewarded based off Georgia players are producing.
Sure.
Like, they're sitting here going, we're not missing this guy, man. He's a tough-ass kid. He's a state champion wrestler. You know, we got to have a guard. We got to have a mauler.
Could easily be one of those guys that you kind of – you know, he just gets in there, does his job, and here we're talking in 10 years, and we're like, damn, Dylan Fairchild's still out there doing it, you know?
Dude got it. Like, he's still playing, like, 7 years later, you know? I felt like that with Leonard Floyd. You know, even though he was a first rounder, I turned around and was like, Leonard Floyd is still freaking playing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Malik Heron, same way. He's out there just straight still in minutes in Kansas City, getting rings in minutes, man.
Absolutely. The pick.
How about Tate Ratliff to Dan Campbell? Like,
oh man. Now listen.
I mean, is there a better?
We're going to talk. There's one guy better, and he may have been in the seventh round. I think Tate Ratliff is going to. I think he and Dan Campbell will be fast friends. I could definitely.
Golly, he might move in his basement.
The shock of the draft to me, Russ. Probably, regardless of Tate, Arian Smith, fourth round to the New York Jets. The speed wins out. The character wins out. Just everything about him. This kid's going to be look, I think in Arian Smith, you got a usable player in some form or fashion. Is he the most solid-handed guy you're ever going to run into? He's not there yet, and he didn't get there at Georgia, but he made some big catches in big moments. You never heard a bad word about the kid. He can absolutely freaking blaze. He's a special teams player. I mean, I was really happy to see that for Arian.
People don't value special teams enough. Kirby mm-hmm. Smart absolutely does. And what you got with him is a three-down player because he's going to play every special teams. And then you're going to line up a 10-200-meter world-class guy. And they were talking about, I don't know if you saw him talking about whichever broadcast you were watching, they were talking about, you know, changing contacts, all this stuff. Georgia's done it all. They've done it all with this kid because they loved freaking Arian Smith. And I'll tell you this, that Kirby Smart himself will tell you, and Mike Bobo would tell you straight up, that Arian Smith was the hardest working kid on that team. He was the most coachable kid on that team. Everybody there felt bad for him going through those drops because he'd go out there and catch 1,000 balls on the jugs, do this and do that. He just had a case of it where he couldn't do it. And if he gets it down consistently and he stays healthy, Arian Smith will be one of those guys. You're like, holy crap, that dude's on year 8. Here we go. But super fast, hard worker, plays every special. This dude's making tackles on special teams. Sure. And I'm sure that Kirby Smart is going to absolutely show everybody up there. You know what? Everybody was ripping my kid. And guess what? He went in fourth round. You know why I went in fourth round? Because he can play freaking special teams. And he did it at Georgia.
Yeah. Yep. He's followed by Trevor Etienne. I thought that was a good position for Trevor with the Panthers at 114. Fifth round, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins to the Vikings. Oh, can you believe this one, Rusty? With pick 161, the Philadelphia Eagles draft Smile Munch. I said at some point those guys just turn their brain off and they're like, hey, who's still left on the board from Georgia? Let's go get
that. It's for them, they're confident in what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? That's another product. I'll say this, though. Smile's foot concerns some people. I had a call last night and somebody I trust said one team said we didn't even have him on our board. You know what I mean? Like that foot injury, he's 100% healthy, but there's a lot of data on that thing reoccurring. And when it reoccurs, you're done. So, you know, it's going to be, can he stay healthy? Because he's a great kid. He can fly. He can blitz. He's a tough ass kid. But he's certainly the guy, Phil Yates, on there yesterday, he said, man, I had this kid in our top 70, which is a third rounder. You know what I mean? So late second, third rounder. And I agree with that. I think that he would have been much higher, but his medical worried some people and you just hoped it. Look, these guys all can play. It's just about staying healthy. How long can you stay healthy and get there and how long do you stick around? Because absorbing the game and striking people and being able to call defense and all that, it's not going to be a problem. That's why the Eagles rolled the dice there. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a talent standpoint, there was no question when it came to Smile Munden. I said going into this draft, if Smile Munden slipped very hard, you would know it was a medical thing. Exactly what it was. Yeah. Sixth round, Warren Brinson to the Green Bay Packers. They seem to love the dogs these days. And then seventh round, two dogs to the Lions. Dominic Lovett, who good to see him get picked. You kind of wondered he would be a fringe guy. And then Dirty Dan Jackson with pick number 230 in the draft. How you gotta love that story, man.
Don't you picture like Tate and Dan loading up like a big U-Haul, like just a U-Haul going up 75, the windows roll down, you know what I mean? Like no AC,
sure.
Just blasting God knows what, and yeah, just moving out area.
The whole trunk's full of just like cases of beer and
camouflage cows and stuff.
Yeah, deer antlers and yeah, absolutely. It looks like your uncle's lake cabin. You know, I mean, how great to see that though, man. Dan Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody awesome. Was rooting for Dan to get drafted, and sure enough, he does. But by the Lions, a team that, again, you know, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings went out and got two guys in the UDFAs from the Dogs as well. Undrafted free agent Xavier Truss to the Broncos, Nazir Stackhouse to the Packers, Chaz Chambliss to the Vikings, and Ben Jurasik to the Vikings as well. Overall, Rusty, like I said, 13 picks for the Dogs, second most in the entire draft when it came to one particular school, and the most in the SEC once again. What was the final number? I know you know this, on the 2021 team.
So it's not done yet, and I got lit up last night by 1,000 different people. So they have 45 players that were on that national championship roster. Alabama has the all-time record for 2017 with 47. So Georgia is sitting at 45 players. Now they have, it's kind of ironic, they have Micah Morris still playing. He's left. Carson Beck still playing. He's left. Jonathan Jefferson at SMU. He's playing. Austin Blasky is playing. Yep. And they also have Cass Jones. So they have five players still playing. I feel certain that Micah Morris and Carson Beck will get drafted. So that's going to tie the record. I thought to myself last night, I said, man, if Cass Jones can somehow just – if Cass Jones slides in to that seventh round next year and he's the guy that breaks the all-time – because I'm telling you right now, this record will never be broken. Sure. It will never even come close because of the way the portal is.
Sure.
But if Georgia has 47 of 85 players in that national championship team that year drafted, that's absolutely absurd. They're sitting at 45, and we'll see where it is. But it'd be interesting if, Carson Beck's obviously going to get drafted at some point. Michael Morris, I'm sure, of two next year. So they're going to tie this thing, barring something crazy. They're going to need Jonathan Jefferson, Austin Blasky, or Cass Jones to go. And I swear, I hope it's Cass Jones. That would be
amazing.
Talking about money. I'm good with that. I would love for that to be.
Absolutely. Guys, speaking of money, look, if you're looking to save some money on some great sunglasses, get over to sunheist.com. Great friends, great partners of ours. They do a tremendous job over there. Tons of styles, tons of selection, ways to customize, super lightweight frames. You got a warranty on your frames, injected polarization in the lenses. They're made for adventure, so you have the opportunity to take these things hiking. You can take them tailgating. Look, take them on a drive. Wherever you need to go, Sunheist is there with you. They're made for where you want to go. They give back to the community through their efforts. They're partnered with One Tree Planted. They give they plant a tree for their sales. They're out of the Jefferson community, close to Athens, a Georgia-based business. They do a tremendous job. Their customer service, second to none. And you can save some money on your first purchase with code DAWGSHQ20. That's code DAWGSHQ20 over at sunheist.com. Like I said, you're going to forget that these things are on your face, and that's about the best compliment that I could possibly give them. They are a ridiculously comfortable pair of sunglasses at a ridiculously good price. So get over to sunheist.com, code DAWGSHQ20. Rusty, a way too early look ahead for 2026 NFL draft. I'm curious, any names that kind of jump off the page to you when you're looking ahead to next year, potential first rounders? Everybody's going to want to be thinking about that next year. Who's got the chance to really kind of come out and maybe separate themselves where the Dogs are concerned this year? One guy that jumps out to me as a possibility, if he can get everything right, is I think Kristen Miller's got a really good shot based on his personality, his size, and the position he plays. I think that he could be a guy who surprises some people. I think he could get in there and boost his name up. I saw him on a mock draft also too. He's one that jumps off to me, but I'm curious who else kind of catches your eye.
Well, because of the position, and if he's healthy, Monroe Freeland will be a guy that's probably going to get some mention if he has a great year. That's a guy that could potentially be three and out. You know, he's a five-star just like these other guys. He would make him three and out. I think Raylan Wilson's a guy that you start seeing the third year under Glenn Schumann. You know what I mean? He's going to test well, which is most importantly. And the value of an inside linebacker and how they're producing at Georgia, I think he's got a chance. Dalen Everett will have an outside chance because he's going to test well. Listen, the Georgia product, the Georgia brand is going to carry some weight. Is there a surefire number one? We all sit here last year. We knew Mikel and Malachi were going to be first rounders.
Right.
Jalen Walker played himself into a first rounder. Can Raylan Wilson do that? But I'll tell you this, as you look forward, Georgia's best pro prospects might be KJ Bolden and Chris Cole.
The good news
for Georgia is they got those guys 2 more years. So Chris Cole and KJ Bolden are they're first rounders from what I've seen and their skill sets and those things. If they continue on the trajectory, they are pretty easy, but a lot of meat left on the bone here. You know, a lot of guys, you talk about transfer guys and somebody make a move there. We'll see there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting in that way. Like you said, going into last
year. A lot of draftable guys, but is sure. They're guaranteed first rounders like we've seen the last 4 or 5 years. I don't think there's like a guy. There's like a guy right now you go, I know he's going first.
Right, exactly. That's what's interesting, I think, about this team. Like you said, tons of draftable guys, but who's going to kind of end up separating themselves? I like that Raylan Wilson pick, especially coming off of what Jalen Walker did this year. I think that he's got kind of a chance to make some hay do that in the same way. I mean, who had Jalen Walker going in the first prior to this year? And he comes out and turns into a manimal. Now, I'm not saying he never had the talent to do it. I mean, he was a guy coming out of high school who had all the tools, all the speed, high character guy, but for him to put together the season he did and then test like he did, just not a lot to argue with there. Raylan Wilson, that's a good pick, Rusty. I like that. And like you said, the good news is the guys that are probably your top draft picks, they're coming back to play for you again.
Yeah, some young dudes. Yeah, Chris Cole and KJ Bolden to me are they've got that look.
What do you think about
their pups?
What do you think about Madozi? Do you think that there's a possible chance there? I mean,
it's Corden. He's going to have opportunity again. You know, right. It's going to be. I think he's a guy that can play for Georgia for 2 years, and what Georgia has done there, you're not going to get a ton of sacks unless. Let's be honest. You know, that's kind of where Dana Wilson. He wanted more stats, and
talking probably about Damon Wilson as that guy.
Damon Wilson definitely would have been – he had that potential. We'll see how it does in Missouri, but he definitely would have been that guy I think we would have been talking about. I'll give you a sneaky one. Sneaky, sneaky. And he's got to stay healthy. Got to stay healthy. But I'm telling you now, Jordan Hall might be a guy that all of a sudden a year from now we're going, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's freaky too. Big dude.
Another
got to stay healthy.
Another one that kind of lingers in the back of my mind, an outside of outside chances, but because of how he's built, because of this progression we saw this spring, dude, I'm watching Daniel Harris very close this year. I'm not saying he's going to be, but his measurables are going to make him a desirable commodity. And if he's able to stave off the likes of Ellis Robinson and DeMello Jones, really lock down that second cornerback spot, he will be a compelling guy to watch. Like I said, he had struggles at times last year, and I'm not forgiving those things. But from a physical standpoint, he's got every tool that you would ever look for.
You see that dude in person, you're like, holy smokes. Only so many of that he's going to test well. Hunter Lacey says C.J. Allen. C.J. Allen is going to be a second or third round pick to me. He is going to be extremely high character. He has extremely high IQ, football IQ. I don't know that he's going to run enough to get you into that low 4-5 range, but there's zero doubt in my mind that CJ Allen is going to be a top 3 round draft pick. And now Justin Williams can roll, but he that's 2 years from now.
Right.
So I think CJ Allen's a guy. I think CJ Allen's been more productive. I think Raylan has a bigger ceiling and a little bit faster. And I know how they covet that testing. And I think Raylan can get in that low 4-5 range, which is, it's just about the first round stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's going to be a talented group. And that kind of makes it fun to watch for me. I mean, like, you know, there were all those expectations kind of foisted upon Mykel Williams this year. And even Malachi Starks, people were like, well, you know, maybe he's taking a step back as a playmaker. Look, none of that was fair. I think that those kids both put it together. The NFL clearly saw what they were doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but watching it from this year, I think you've got your eye open. Who will be that guy? I'm intrigued by that. Look, if you're looking to make a good decision, just like those NFL teams, get over to myperfectfranchise.net. Check those guys out. Andy Ludicky and the team over there, a ton of experience when it comes to personal entrepreneurship. They're going to connect you with the resources necessary to take your life and career in your own hands. They've got a ton of background in business. They've owned several. They've sold several. They've worked with franchises. They've helped people partner with franchises. They want to take you and put you in a position to get you aligned with a franchise that makes sense and allows you to take your life to the next level. Your service, their services are completely free to you. You've got nothing to lose. So get over myperfectfranchise.net. That's myperfectfranchise.net. Andy Ludicky and the team over there. Get over, give them a shout. Tell them Dogs HQ sent you. Great friends of ours. Rusty, bringing this thing home here. I want to talk a little bit about Jared Curtis and Georgia recruiting because we're about to turn the page. The draft is kind of one of those things. It comes right after G-Day. And then the page turns and the scavenger hunt is kind of the next big thing on the calendar for the Georgia Bulldogs. But before that happens, we got the Jared Curtis decision. We got the Jackson Cantwell decision. It's going to be a big, big May for these Georgia Bulldogs. A week out of this thing, he'll decide May 5th. I'm just curious, your gut feelings on this thing. It's obviously changeable. Obviously, we're living in a world where what we say by the time this show ends may not matter at all. But I am curious where you think things are sitting a week out for Jared Curtis. 10,000-foot view on this.
I mean, people don't like to hear it, but it's going to come down to, you know, what's going to come down to is interesting is next Sunday.
Yeah,
May the 4th.
Yep.
Oregon's going to be there. And they're going to be there half the day. And Mike Bobo and a few other guys, they'll be there half the day. And the kid's going to make a decision on the 5th. And he's going to have – which is so like 2005 recruiting to have two people in your house. And the very next day you're going to make a decision like this. So – you know, there's a lot of conversation that's going to happen between now and then. I think, you know, obviously I would imagine both schools are a little nervous. Both schools probably feel good in some areas. I think the key is going to be if you want to lean Georgia, you want to talk Georgia, I think location is such a big deal. You know what I mean? Like you can get in a car from Nashville and be in Athens, you know, 4.5 hours, 5 hours, you know, Oregon, you're an hour and a half to the airport waiting, you know, 3-4 hour flight. You land, you're, you know, 2.5 hours from the airport into Eugene. I mean, that's not a bad 1 day trip, but doing that 10, 11 times a year, you know, during football season and then doing it 3 or 4 times in the off season, just so you can see your kid. And then your kid has to do that to come home. That's a lot now, but not saying it won't happen, but there, you know, that's a lot of travel for something like that. And we'll see, but you know, it's just, we're a week away and yeah, people are guessing. I can tell you that, but the one thing I feel better about the whole deal is the night he decommitted, I told everybody, I said, George's not out of this. I'm telling you. And everybody's like, you know, we're done. You know, there's no way we're ever getting him back. And Georgia was in that thing. The night he decommitted, I talked to someone very close to him and basically just said, look, he wants to take visits. He don't feel right doing it as a commit. And Georgia's still a school that he freaking loves. And sure enough, here we are. We're right back in this thing. And we're right back in this thing. And we're there. Josh Armstrong says, give me Bo Bentley and take that $1.25 million and throw it at Tyler Atkinson. They're all going to be expensive, man. I mean, it ain't.
I wish we're all so simple.
I think Georgia would absolutely do what they needed to do. It ain't all that simple. And you start talking about number one players, Georgia, schools aren't going to sign three or four kids number one to position anymore. That's another thing. It's going to be totally different there and those types of things. But you're not getting a court. Bo Bentley ain't cheap. I can tell you that right now. He's got a real agent too, and they all know just about what the market is for a quarterback. So they're all kind of in the same neighborhood. You ain't gonna get one for $4 million and one for $1 million. Don't work that way. Whatever you pay for a quarterback is gonna be pricey. But you also got some wiggle room there. You know, I mean, you got some wiggle room and with some of these kids and it's going to be real interesting.
Well, you got to think too, Rusty. I mean, at least I do. I moved from the place of moving into the rev share. These guys are trying to squelch every single buck they can get out because they know the gravy train is kind of slowing. I don't know that it will ever quit now, but it's going to be changed. And these agents are looking at this as like, this is a big, I got a windfall.
And this is the agent's payday. Yep. From what I understand too, and this is so just another whole conversation. These kids are smart enough to realize they're not signing an agent through their NFL deal. Right. So you take an agent. If I'm Jake Roos's agent, I don't give a damn what else is going on. I'm trying to get the most money for you right now because the more money you make is the more money that I make.
Okay.
And so there's
never play a snap in the NFL. I got to get that. If you're Jake Roos's agent, I can pay you in warm Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's what I have to offer you. And that's about it.
And a used microwave because you got a new
one. Right. Yes, I have an old white microwave that no longer functions. I'll be willing to kick that in as part of the deal. I am curious, though, Rusty. Like I said, you've got the Cantwell decision coming right after that as well. Everybody going to be watching that one, too. Big development for Georgia. He's going to get back in before making the decision, bump things forward. I said on the board, there's no way to spin that in a negative way for Georgia. That was a huge thing for them to have happen. But this is going to be kind of a pivotal May, which is kind of interesting. And look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this means that it's all done and it's all locked up and it's all good. I mean, you got a long way to go till December, but you know, this can be a really impactful May, kick off a big summer for Georgia. And I know, like I said, that the scavenger hunt coming up very, very soon. That'll be kind of the big recruiting kickoff to the summer. I'm outside of those two, Rusty, are there any names that you kind of have circled that you're watching pretty close? I know you guys just had MVP camp down in the Atlanta area this week. Who kind of caught your eye? I know you had a couple of Georgia prospects there as well.
Tell you what, man, Daryl Rivers. That Daryl Rivers is. I looked at Jeremy today and I said, "Holy smokes!" Young man in McEachern High School. He's an edge defender. Transferred into McEachern.
You need to check his certificate.
I'm gonna tell you something.
He got that face like he's like 35.
I'm gonna tell you something. I looked at him and I said, "Yep, yeah, I've been doing it a long time, buddy. Yeah, you're about to have a good about 6 weeks because." Georgia's offered, so don't get me wrong. He's a guy, and I think he can play edge. I think he can play five technique. He's big, broad-shouldered. I had to go look at his measurements, but, you know, if you follow us on social, put some stuff out today, he was oof. And then Whitley Cadu,
yep,
believe his name. He's at Booker T. Washington. He was 6'5" 294. Before he stepped on the scale, I looked at Chad, and I said, Chad, he weighs 275. He was 20 pounds. He carried 294. I talked to his coach, who's had a ton of SEC power four guys. And I said, Coach, this dude now, he goes, Kirby is calling me on this guy. And I said, say no more. That's all I need to know. When Kirby's making the call. So I saw two kids today in the 2026 class and people that follow every day. But for me, getting a chance to work those kids out myself, spend a little time being able to see them. Because I can say this because who we cover, but like when I see a Georgia kid, like those are two Georgia kids. Like those kids can play at Georgia. And they're both 2026s. They're both in-state. And it'll be interesting to see. Both kids are expecting Georgia coaches within the next week to be at your school. Here's the thing. Tomorrow, Monday, if you go to Dogs HQ, we'll have a big list where we're expecting coaches. They get the two visits in the next couple of weeks. Most of them go early. The second time they go watch spring practice. A lot of spring practice in Georgia is starting tomorrow, which is really good news there. So those kids, but there'll be coaches all over the country. I did talk to someone today from Keetron, and I said, well, we got a laughing joke on Dogs HQ about, you know, Seven Cloud really a human, you know, and he said, look, man, he said, what a story. He said, you know, not getting too much into it, but what he went through and what his life has been. And he said, man, George has done a great job. He said, the kid is a Georgia Bulldog. He loves it. He said that they sat down with him and they talked about rev share and talked about what he can make at Georgia. And they were like, straight up, like, this is, you know, everybody else is blowing all this. They don't even know if they can do that. But we're telling you right now, this is what you can make at Georgia, straight up. And so that was good. That was a good deal for him. And they said he's really, really strong at Georgia. Other schools are still trying, but he publicly said he shut it down. And Georgia's they're in a good spot right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that the rev share may come when you get that Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis-esque money too down the line. So probably something to be said for that as well, and what Georgia's been able to do with the position the Seven Cloud plays. Guys, look, like Rusty said, get over to Dogs HQ in the morning. We got a big list coming. Recruiting. The focus, all right? We are through G-Day. We're through the draft. So it's all about this summer, and the summers have been hot for the Georgia Bulldogs in the last couple of years. This one expected to be no different. Rusty, anything to send the people home with?
One last comment, right? But Josh Armstrong, I believe, comes in and says, Tyler Atkinson's had an agent, and he's got Adidas and all that. Certainly has a complete marketing team, and he is. You can do NIL in the state of Georgia, and Tyler Atkinson has real NIL. He is one of eight kids, I think, that has Adidas contract. So, you know, his team, his family, done a really good job around him, and it's gonna be good to be Tyler Atkinson over the next 6 or 8 months. I can tell you that right now. I remember getting a new cassette player put into my car, and I was like, it's on. Like, you can't tell me nothing, man. Tyler Axon will get a little more than a cassette player. I'll just put you that way, and he's earned it. So we'll see where all this thing goes.
I think so. Guys, get over to Dogs HQ. Check it all out. We got the Dog Walk message board always popping off over there. We'll be back this week, maybe with a little Dogs HQ Plus. Rusty, got something for the people up the sleeve?
Yeah, we always got. I got to tell the story about Jordan Jenkins. Everybody gets him up, but right. I will tell the OV on that on all HQ right, Plus. Right. I'll give the behind the scenes Jordan Jenkins OV. Remember 2012? That was a good one.
A great tease. I love that. We'll have all the recruiting covered for you, wire to wire over there. Any team coverage, baseball coming up on it too. So a lot to get to there as well. Look, if it happens between the hedges, if it happens in Athens, we talk about it over at Dogs HQ. So get over there. Come hang out with us. Shout out to our partners, American Pride Bank, Sun Heist, and MyPerfectFranchise.com. We appreciate you guys tuning in to another edition of the Georgia Show. We'll catch you soon.